Good morning, Northeast Kingdom. This is Scott Wheeler with the Vermont Voice, a program of 1490 WIK in Derby. Well, we've seen our first snow on the ground, and with snow comes snowmobiling. Well, this morning's guest is Scott Jeunesse of Derby. He is a third-generation pioneer in the local snowmobile industry. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Scott. Nice to be here.
So you grew up in the snowmobile world.
Yes, I have. My grandfather got involved in the sport back in 1968, and from that point on, the family has just moved forward to pioneer this sport and pretty much provide local trails to what we see today.
Right. So do you remember your first snowmobile ride?
Yes, I do. I do remember one of the first snowmobile rides, and it was quite interesting.
And why is that?
Why is that? Because of some of the snowmobiles we rode and some of the trails back in the early days. Back then, we did not have the grooming equipment that you see today on the trails, and obviously the snowmobiles were not as technically advanced as what you see today.
Right. Well, I was telling you earlier, I'm actually a few years older than you. I'm 43, so when I grew up, I actually grew up snowmobiling on the interstate. No, we didn't weave in and out of the traffic, but the interstate was just being built, but boy, that was a heck of a snowmobile trail.
Yes, I've heard stories from some of the old-timers about the trail going down the current path of Interstate 91.
Wait. You said old-timers. I said I'm only 43 years old. I know you're, what, 36?
Yes.
So 43, am I an old-timer
now? Well, I hope not, because I'm catching up with you.
Yeah, that's the funny thing is as you age, everybody older than you suddenly stops aging, and you start catching up to them.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So tell me a little bit of change in the actual snowmobiles themselves.
Well, the actual change in the snowmobiles, obviously, the power and performance obviously has changed greatly over the years. Also, the suspensions that these machines now have are incredible, and you can ride for miles and miles and miles and still not get fatigued like you used to back in the early 70s.
I remember thinking, you thought you had something when you had a twin cylinder. How many cylinders are those? I don't snowmobile anymore.
Well, today through the years, some of the manufacturers came out with some three-cylinder snowmobiles, but some of the penalties of a bigger engine was a weight disadvantage. Today, a lot of the manufacturers have gone back to twin-cylinder snowmobiles, but today, some of them are pushing upwards of 170 horsepower.
How fast can a snowmobile go?
Well, the typical snowmobile or the average snowmobile today is the top speed's around 110 miles an hour. Obviously, that's not something we want to be doing out on our snowmobile trails.
Right. And what about in the 70s? You know, back then it seemed like they were really going fast. But how fast were we probably really going in the 70s?
Oh, back then we were probably seeing speeds out of the snowmobiles of about 50 or 60 miles an hour out of the highest performance machines available on that day.
Right. I think we should back up, too. Is your grandparents, who originally were they were actually some of the very early pioneers in Orleans County in the snowmobile world, weren't they?
Yes. The two of them and
their names are?
Their names are Walt and Joyce Jeunesse.
Right.
Helped pioneer the sport as well as some other individuals in the area. They started this snowmobile club, which is known as Drift Dusters, in 1970. My grandfather was past president several times, and then throughout the late 80s and early 90s, my dad, Ed Jeunesse, was also past president several times. And in 2002, I took over as president of the club for a single term.
Right. And is it your grandparents who founded the company's, or the family business?
Yes. My grandparents also started Walt Sales and Service, which was founded in Derby, Vermont, and still is in Derby, Vermont, and the business was founded in 1967.
And did it start out as snowmobiles?
When it first started, my grandfather was very heavily involved in auto mechanics, and it started out as auto mechanics and as well as lawn and garden equipment. And we had a line of snowmobiles which some people may still remember, was Ski Rule.
Yeah, I remember those.
And we carried Ski Rule for 2 years, and Ski Rule went out of business, and in 1970, we acquired the Motoski franchise.
And I recall at one time there were dozens of different snowmobile companies. Now, what are we down to, like four now?
Yes, there was about 140 manufacturers of snowmobiles, and today we are down to four.
Now, why is that?
Just the tough times through the 70s of trying to do business and develop a snowmobile and keep them going and keep up the service on them. And a lot of the manufacturers at the time had just kind of given up the sport.
Right. So before all the trails came in, like the vast trails and that, people just relied on, did they make their own trails or did they just go wherever?
Yeah, back in the early 70s, we had a big issue with snowmobiles in the area. And a lot of people would just take out on their snowmobiles and go through farmers' fields and carry a pair of wire cutters and just cut people's fences and drive wherever they would like to go.
Right.
And we're pretty much facing that same issue today with ATV use in our area.
Yeah, that's right. You have been in the news as well because you're carrying on the family tradition of being a pioneer of stuff. You're trying, if I recall right, you're trying to set up a ATV trail system around here.
Yes, that's correct, Scott. Back in February of this year, I joined our local ATV club. And one of the reasons I joined the club is on this side of Lake Mount Vermegog, on the east side, there was nothing in place yet for ATV travel and a trail system. We have a pretty decent trail system on the west side over Newport Center, Lowell and the Coventry area that's working excellent. And I decided to get involved in the club and try to push forward and get some ATV trail development in the Derby area, as well as trying to hook up with Tri-County ATV Club, which is based at Island Pond, and put an interconnecting trail system in the state of Vermont. And this is kind of important because we would set a precedent in the state to be the first ATV clubs to actually interconnect in the state of Vermont.
So is this a whole lot like the vast trail system for snowmobiles?
Yes, it's very similar to our vast trail system and what we do locally on the local level with drift dusters, where within the ATV industry or trail system, we work under the same model as VAST, Vermont Association of Snow Travelers, but this organization is called the VASA, Vermont ATV Sportsman Association, and our local club is the Borderline Ridge Riders.
Do the ATV clubs and VAST work together in any way?
No, we do not. We try to separate ourselves from each other. One of the main problems that we've seen over the years with our VAST and our local trails is in the summertime they're being used by ATVs, which is illegal, and it upsets our snowmobile landowners, which in turn closes our trails down. So this is one of the main reasons I was pushing forward, or still am pushing forward, a ATV trail so we can have two separate recreational trails within Orleans County.
Okay. For those of you just tuning in this morning, this is Scott Wheeler with the Vermont Voice. Our guest this morning is Scott Jeunesse. So how is the trail system working out so far? Are you starting to get the pieces connected?
Well, my first step when I was trying to get a trail into place was to first contact our local selects. And first step was to contact the Derby Select Board and present them my proposal and the possible usage of Class 3, Class 4, and legal town trails. And at that meeting, I got pretty much full support from the board to move forward and present them with a plan.
Right. So how many miles of trails have you got connected so far?
Well, at our existing trails that are in place now in Newport Center, Coventry, and Lowell area, we have got approximately 60 miles of trails already in place. But what I'm trying to do over here is first contact the town levels, our town select boards, and get preliminary approval. My second step was to approach private landowners, get their feelings, and map out a particular trail. At this point, I do have a trail mapped out of Derby Center to the Holland Town line, which is approximately 15 miles. And out of that 15 miles, we are only looking to use about 0.3 miles of a legal town trail. And from that point on, once we can get permission to get out of Derby, then I will continue on with the town of Holland and the town of Morgan for my ultimate goal, which is to hook into Tri-County ATV Club, which already has a trail into Morgan.
So it sounds like you've run into a lot of landowners who are very agreeable to this idea.
Yes, I have, Scott. A lot of our landowners are very, very supportive of this idea. And one of the main reasons is this is a sport that is not going away. This is a sport that's growing in popularity. And one of the main reasons is because the cost of snowmobiling is increasing incredibly. And a lot of our locals cannot afford the sport of snowmobiling that hopefully they might get 3 months of enjoyment out of.
Right.
And what we're seeing, especially in our business, is a lot of our locals trading their ATVs or purchasing new ATVs for their enjoyment. And the problem is there's no place to ride them, and they're riding them illegally at this point, and we're harming our landowner relationships with our snowmobile club and our relationships with a state organization.
And I don't think it's I think illegal riding isn't helping the relationship with the lawmen either, because I see in the paper quite a bit that these the illegal riders keep them kind of busy as well.
Oh, yes, it does. At this point, if you have an issue with ATV riding, illegal ATV riding on your property, the only people you have to contact is your local state police or your sheriff's department, and they are so overburdened that you're not getting a response. And by allowing borderline ridge riders to put a trail in, we would then be on the front line of enforcement and helping curtail certain problems that are out there.
So although you were probably too young to remember the real early days of snowmobiling, when your grandparents and your parents first began working on the local trail system, from hearing them tell the stories about what they went through, is it very similar? Did they meet resistance?
What I am going through today mirrors the exact obstacles that they faced back in the 70s. There were the same issues. It started with renegade snowmobilers, like I mentioned previously, taking out on their own, going through the meadows, cutting farmers' fences, and just traveling wherever they pleased. At that time, they realized that there was an issue at hand, and we had to get something established to give a legal trail system for people to operate their snowmobiles on.
So did your grandparents and parents meet resistance from landowners to allow a trail across their land?
Oh, yes. We did meet some resistance, but with constant negotiations and working with the landowners, we were able to obtain their permission. And on a yearly basis, we approach every single landowner and get their assigned permission form and try to address any issues that they may have. And we got a very, very strong landowner relationship within our club, Drift Dusters, at this point. And this is the same thing I'm trying to carry forward with the ATV trail development and within our club, the Borderline Ridge Riders.
Now, I don't own an ATV, and I think I've only ridden one a couple times. One of the concerns I hear from people is that there's a big difference between the damage left behind by a snowmobile versus the damage left behind by an ATV. How do you respond to something like that?
Well, that is definitely true, Scott. There is obviously more of an impact on the environment with an ATV than there is with a snowmobile. The way I try to counter this issue here is, at this point, with no legal trail system to ride on, they're impacting the environment and landowners' property more so than if we had an organized trail and we were trying to put them in a single place. We would have impact only on one single trail, and with the funding that we have available through VASA and through our local club, we will be able to help maintain these areas, ditch certain wet areas, and install culverts to help minimize the impact that it has on the land.
Right. Since I have a VAS trail that crosses a portion of my land, so I get to watch. I do realize the snowmobile clubs do a spectacular job at maintaining their trails, and so I would assume then that your ATV groups will probably maintain the trails, and if they do get too rutted up, will you be repairing them?
Oh, definitely. Snowmobile trails, what we have today, did not start overnight. They started with a single lane funny path, may I say. And over the years, we've been able to invest a lot more money into them, widen them out to about 10 to 15 feet wide, cover them where they're needed, bridge them, and help these troubled areas. And we're going to follow the same procedure with the ATV club when we put in trails. If we have some areas that are really wet and getting rutted up, yes, we will be able to go in there. We will ditch them. We will bring in some material to help address the issue.
Well, I think most people would agree that snowmobiling brings a lot of money to this area. You know, it isn't only the locals who snowmobile, but people come from near and far to snowmobile here. Do you envision these trails at possibly bringing business to the area?
Yes, that is our hopes. It's not going to happen next year or the year after, or even 5 years. We are hoping that in the long run that we are going to have as big an economic impact on our economy with ATV travel and usage as we do with our snowmobiles.
For those of you just tuning in this morning, this is Scott Wheeler with the Vermont Voice. Our guest this morning is Scott Jeunesse of Derby. Has there ever been a count on how many people own ATVs just in Orleans County? Do you have a clue?
I do not have a clue, but on the state level, there are more registered ATVs in the state of Vermont, Scott, than there are snowmobiles at this point.
Oh, really? When did you get involved in ATV yourself?
I've been involved with ATVs pretty much my whole life. Always been kind of interested in motorized recreational vehicles. Obviously, it's in the blood. It's in the blood, correct.
So why did they go? You know what I remember is these three-wheelers I used to have. What was anybody thinking with those three-wheelers? Those are the ones I drove. I've driven those a couple times, and I thought those were the most awkward things. Now, I assume these four-wheeled ones are a little more stable than those three-wheeled ones.
Oh, definitely. The government got involved with the three-wheelers and outlawed them because they were so dangerous and a lot of people were getting injured and even killed on them. And that's what brought along the development of the four-wheel vehicles, which we see today and are known as the all-terrain vehicles. And they are a lot more stable, a lot more stability, and they've got a great suspension under them, and they're designed for trail riding.
You know, you mentioned one word that we hate to hear, but killed. You know, I don't know if we have a year go by now in the Northeast Kingdom where somebody isn't killed riding an ATV, typically illegally on roads. Do you think that the trail system will actually, you know, possibly save lives or save some of these lives that will give them a place to ride?
Yes, I definitely do. At this point, we are seeing people getting injured and even killed on ATVs because they are riding illegally. They're riding down roads and having contact with motorized vehicles, and by allowing them a place to ride, for one thing, it's going to keep them in one area, it's going to give them a safe place to ride, and also by doing that, if someone gets injured on an ATV and we're on a legal trail system, now we have a place for our rescue team to be able to get out there and help whatever they need to do with the victim. At this point, if someone's out riding illegally, they could be up in the middle of nowhere and they call for help and the EMTs have no idea where to go to help these people.
All right, how about if I say to you, yeah, you can come across my land, build a trail, and somebody's involved in an accident on my land, on your trail. Am I going to lose everything?
No, Scott. You cannot be held responsible. If you allow an organized ATV trail or snowmobile trail across your land, there is a state statute that protects the landowner, and the landowner cannot be held liable for anybody's actions.
Right. Now, let's back up a little. How long have you been working on this trail system for?
I started in February when I joined as a director in the Borderline Ridge Riders, and I joined as the Derby Town Director to try to get something established. It's been a very short time, but within the last 10 months, I definitely have stirred up a lot of controversy.
Right. And do you understand, when people argue against you or really express their opinions strongly, do you understand their ambivalence to having the trail because they've never had one?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I respect everybody who are either opposed or for. In today's world, we're not going to have 100% compliance. We're always going to face some opposition. But from what I have seen in my work throughout the summer, the opposition is very, very, very low compared to what we have for support of this trail system.
Are you working with some of the people who don't want to see the trail or are really concerned about it?
Yes. We held a public meeting with our state legal advisor and representative from BASA. I met with some concerned citizens one evening and tried to address their concerns. And I know as far as landowner liability, we kind of put that to rest and they feel like they are well protected now as far as a liability issue goes. But there are some people, Scott, as you can understand, that it's very, very hard to police. A lot of these people are got the mentality of not in my backyard.
Right. Have you ever just talked to your parents and grandparents and just mused about the similarities or is in the what they faced versus what you're facing?
Oh yes. It was kind of unfortunate. I lost my grandfather about a year ago, and before we lost him, I was talking to him about this, and he told me that I was going to face some stiff challenges ahead of me to try to get an ATV trail in the place. But he says if you stick to it and you work at it, he says you will succeed.
Why not give up?
Scott, I'm one of these people, and I guess, there again, it's in our blood. Once we start something, I will not give up. I will stick to this to the end to make sure that we get something into place to give us a legal place to ride our ATVs, and I know there's a lot of support in the community for a legal trail system.
Looking way into the future, what would into the future of ATV and in Vermont, what would your ultimate dream be? Would it be to go from Bennington all the way to Canada? What would your ultimate dream be?
Well, right now in the state of Vermont, as far as our snowmobile trail goes, we have got about 3,500 miles of interconnecting trails. My goal someday is to have the BASA trail system mirror the VAST trail system and hopefully get somewhere in the same vicinity on the mileage of trails.
Right. So how are you going to maintain this trail? Are they going to be, are you hiring people to do it? Or?
Well, what we are looking for is, as myself, I am a volunteer. I've been involved, like I said, with the Snowmobile Club for a long time as a volunteer. And volunteers are the backbone of the VASA organization and the VASA organization. And we are always, always looking for extra help, whether it's working on a Saturday, helping us clear out a trail or helping us replank a bridge or doing any work whatsoever. But like I said, the clubs are made up of volunteers and they are the backbone of our organization.
Do you have a pretty good group of volunteers right now, or at least supporters?
Yes, we do. It's been working very, very well, and once the word's getting out there that what we're trying to do on a daily basis, I have been people getting in touch with me and asking me what they can do to help.
Right. So how can somebody reach you if they want to volunteer?
Well, a lot of people know where I am. I'm at Walt Sales and Service 6 days a week, and they can either give me a call there or just stop in and chat with me.
Okay. Well, now that we're nearing an end of our program, can you just tell me how many miles of snowmobile trails do we have right now?
Within the state of Vermont, we have 3,500 miles of maintained groomed trails in the state of Vermont. And within our local trail system here, we have got 60 miles of groomed trails.
Right. And do you know how many miles of ATV trails that we have in the state currently?
In the state currently, scattered about the state, we have approximately 800 miles of legal ATV trails right now in the state of Vermont.
Have you covered many of them yourself?
I have covered a small share of them. I definitely have not covered them all. Someday when this goes together and everything's interconnecting, yes.
Now tell me, what is it like to drive on some of these maintained ATV trails?
It's very enjoyable. It's very fun to be able to take the family out and go out for a nice ride on a Sunday afternoon. It's very, very enjoyable.
So are there many people who abuse the trails?
Yes, Scott, as in every sport, we do have a small percentage of people who cannot abide by laws, and that is what we are here to do, to help prevent this problem that we have.
Right, right. So, it looks like you're well on your way, and it sounds like you've only been in this for several months, but it seems to me like your grandfather would be pretty proud of you for pushing on. Well, as I said previously, I'm not an ATV-er myself, and I've just been kind of watching this from the sidelines or listening to it from the sidelines. And, you know, I just wanted to have you come on the show today so I myself could better understand what you're up to. And so the listeners could, and I think you've answered a lot of questions. And I know you have some tough days ahead of you, but it certainly doesn't seem like you're willing to give up anytime soon.
No, I'm not, Scott, and I appreciate you having me on this morning. But what I plan on doing is I'm going to push forward, and I do not plan on stopping until we do have a legal ATV trail system in the town of Derby and interconnecting with Tri-County and Island Pond.
Right. Okay, well, it was good having you this morning. I think it's been a very informative show, and hopefully the listeners who support the ATV trails and those who don't support it, hopefully they got something out of this, and I'm sure you'll be more than happy to talk to people on both sides of the issue, and you can be reached again where?
I can be reached at Walt Sales and Service in Derby, Vermont.
Okay, well, thank you for coming in this morning, Scott.
Thank you.
This morning's guest was Scott Jeunesse of Derby. Thank you for listening to the Vermont Voice on 1490 WIK in Derby. This is Scott Wheeler, the host of the Vermont Voice, wishing you a great day in Vermont's last frontier, Vermont's Northeast Kingdom. Life isn't always easy in Vermont's Northeast Kingdom. The weather is less than ideal, and the economy often lags behind the rest of the state. Despite this, most of the people of the kingdom have adapted well over the generations, mostly through that totally unique Vermont-style wit, a dry humor that catches one totally off guard, a humor that often tells a far deeper story. Hello, I'm Scott Wheeler of Derby. I'm the publisher of Vermont's Northland Journal, and I'm proud of the land of my birth, the Northeast Kingdom. For me, it isn't the beauty of the region that makes it such a special place to call home. It is the strength and perseverance of the people who live here, some who still fight to make a living off the land. The Journal is a monthly publication designed to serve as a forum for people to share their memories of the kingdom from an earlier time. Pick up a copy of the Journal in a store near you or call me, Scott Wheeler, at 802-334-5920 to learn more about this publication, or order a subscription online at www.northlandjournal.com.